Okay, this is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and we're talking about chapter 24, and specifically verse 34, and perhaps the most controversial verse when it comes to prophecy, and a great dispute, and causing great controversy, this statement made by the Messiah here, and as it's recorded in chapter 24 and verse 34, where he says, "In all truth, or verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Well, we know what was fulfilled in that generation. We know the destruction of Jerusalem was fulfilled. And, of course, Daniel's 70th week was fulfilled because the time, by the end of that generation, the time of that was foretold to Daniel when he was told 70 weeks are determined for thy people Israel, well, that time was way up by 90 AD or 95 AD, or I believe that John lived longer than any of the other apostles, so we know that that generation was on for a long time, because I would assume that John was a young man, perhaps a teenager, or a young man in his 20s perhaps, but he was a young man when him and his brother connected up with the Messiah, became the apostles there. So for him to live for another 60 or so years, it would not be a difficult thing to see. And we discussed the word generation, and a lot of people want to pin it down to a certain exact period of time, 40 years. But we find no such thing in the scripture as a generation being defined as anything but the lifetime of a man or a group of people, this generation, you generation of vipers, that is, you people living at this time, this generation shall not pass. So like I said, even today, if I have a son, we have two generations in the same room. If me, my son, and my grandson are in the same room, we have three generations in the same room. So you have the generation of seed lines and of the genealogies, which is the only example of what a generation is that we get from the scripture. So I'm going to go with the scriptural definition of a generation. But still, that doesn't help us if the word all includes everything in this whole chapter that he said at this one time. What was going on there? Can we see the nuances of the things that he was actually referring to, all those things, or was he referring to all of the things concerning the destruction of the end of national Israel and the destruction of Israel as a nation? Was that what he meant by all these things? Well, you know, I have to go with that, because obviously the Messiah hasn't returned yet. As the hyper-preterists say, he returned in 70 AD, because they're trying to go and say by this one verse they're going to build the entire doctrine of their what they hold on eschatology on this one verse. Well, I have to say that the Messiah was not wrong, that our understanding is wrong of what he was saying, that perhaps our interpretation or the translation is wrong, because I know the Messiah didn't speak in Greek, and what we have here is written in Greek. So I'm going to look at what did come to pass in that generation, and I'm going to say that if that's what he said, then that's what he meant, that those things which, because we have history to look at. So really, to me, there should be no confusion about what was meant when this statement, or what this statement encompassed when he said all of these things, what he was referring to. He was referring to all of the things that obviously would come to pass in that time. He wasn't referring to things that did not come to pass, because the Messiah is not wrong, so something else is wrong. Our interpretation, the translation, something is wrong, but the Messiah was not wrong. So we know what happened, what came to pass in that generation. And that generation lasted, the oldest, the longest living of that generation lived until the 90s. You know, the year 0090. If we're going by, we're going to use the calendar we use today as a reference. And that was, more than 20 years after the destruction. So a lot of things came to pass in that time. Many of those things, all of those things came to pass. Obviously the reference did not include the sign of his coming. You know, and you know, there's something to consider there. The sign of his coming is a little different than the destruction of the temple. And what was the other question that he answered? See, the sign of his, and the end of the age. The sign of his coming and the end of the age. Well, that obviously hasn't happened yet. There was the end of an age, and that was the age of national Israel. So whatever came to pass in that generation is the only thing that he could have been referring to having to have come to pass in that generation. Anything that did not come to pass in that generation, well, was not included in that statement. And so something was going on there that we can't see, or that is not recorded quite properly when it says all, that were to include things that did not happen, or somehow invent or change the scripture to include things, to try to pack everything in to 70 AD, as the hyperpreterists do, because they pack the resurrection of the dead. They pack everything. The New Jerusalem coming, all tears being wiped away, and they have to come up with quite a convoluted, version of eschatology and theology to make that happen. Because then they have to say that there is no resurrection of the dead bodily. And that's what they believe. Things like that. That there is no bodily resurrection. When I see that the scripture, you know, I can't build a doctrine on one verse. Then you run into trouble. Because if you cannot take the whole of the scripture in to interpret that one verse, but you're going to interpret the whole of scripture rather by that one verse, then you have problems. And that's where I come to the conclusions that I come to, because I try to bring the whole of the scripture in to interpret a verse rather than take one verse to interpret the whole of scripture, which is right. Well, it seems obvious to me that the hyperpreterists got it wrong when they take this one verse and try to interpret the whole scripture by it, rather than taking the whole scripture and seeing that this one verse does not and cannot encompass and interpret the whole scripture. And that's about as far as I can go with that. You know, pray about it, see how you feel about it, but, you know, I'm doing the best I can here. So we're going to move on. Chapter 24 and verse 36. Maybe we'll find another clue. But of that day, you know, it seems to be that he's making a differentiation here between, he's saying that day, and our no man knoweth, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So first he's telling them about things that they're going to see and things that they can know, right? I think this may be the key that unlocks everything and helps us differentiate between the all things that are going to happen before that generation passes, because there's a differentiation here. And I think we need to make this differentiation. This may be the key, or is the key, to understanding the difference between the all things that shall come to pass and the things that shall not pass. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. He says, but of that day. And what is that day? Well, isn't that referring to his return, the end of the age? Is he not differentiating that from all of the things that he foretold that they would see when you see these things? So this, what he's talking about now doesn't include the things that he's telling them they will be able to see and know how to react and to flee because of the urgency of the things that they're seeing and the terrible things that are going to come upon that nation, the nation of Israel, that never happened before and will never happen again. So, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. So that day that no man knoweth of, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only, are obviously not included in the things that shall pass in that generation. There's a great logic here in the way that the prophecies are laid out in the scripture. You know, and I find that. And I pray, oh, Father, help me to understand these things. You know, it's just like Daniel's 70th week. There's a logic here. There's a logic to the way the scripture, that we can use the scripture to interpret the scripture, that the answers are to be found in the scripture itself. If we look hard enough, if we look deeply enough, if we want to understand these things, if we want to be among the wise who understand these things, the wicked will not understand. And there are a lot of wicked men out there in corporate churches and so forth that are trying to understand, but they're still living wicked lives and involved in idolatry. So will they understand? No, they won't understand because they abhor the law of God. How can they have understanding? If they're out there preaching that the law is nailed to the cross and then they're giving you a spiel on prophecy, the scripture says that they won't understand because they're wicked. They hate God's law. That means they're wicked to me. They say it was nailed to the cross. That way they can break it. They don't have to live by his law. They're wicked. So we aren't under the law. That's true. If we're in his kingdom, we aren't under the law. Because there is no force. To be under something means that there's a force over you. Something forcing you to do it. We're volunteers. We desire, we reverence his law because it reveals his character and it shows us what pleases him. So we voluntarily want to do the things that please him, and we allow his Holy Spirit to write his law in our minds and our hearts so that we can only do the things that please him, that we might not sin against him. And we do this because of love, not because we're under the law. The law is not nailed to the cross. The handwriting of ordinances that were against us were nailed to the cross, and that means our personal indictment. Because remember, what's going to happen to the wicked who don't make the first resurrection? They'll give an account for everything they did in their life. There's a record. But our record, the record of our iniquity, the record of the ordinances, that the things that we did wrong, our personal indictment is already nailed to the cross. It's been paid. It's been satisfied. There's the difference. So let's try to understand. Of that day and hour, no man knoweth, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And now I believe that there is a differentiation that he's referring to. He is separating the things that shall come to pass from the things that we don't know when they're going to come to pass. And that is his coming and the end of the age. And I believe that's where we draw the line here on this prophecy. That's where we understand by what he meant by all these things shall be fulfilled. Because immediately he says, but of that day and hour no man knoweth. So he's differentiating between the things that we know will come to pass in that generation to those people, the generation that he's talking to, the generation that will read these words that are living in that time, and the things that no man knoweth, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And there he's talking about the coming, the signs of his coming. Well, he gives us some of the signs of his coming, but when he's going to come and when the end of the age is, no man knoweth the day or the hour, but my Father only. But as it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So he's specifically talking about his coming. He specifies it for us. This is not included in the all these things that shall come to pass in that generation, because he gives them signs. He tells them what to do when they'll see these things. They're going to know they're coming. But these are the things that they're not going to know when they're coming. So obviously not going to come to pass in that generation. He continues, For as in the days of Noah were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Well, what's going on today? They're eating and drinking, giving in marriage and marrying. You know, that means that a man puts away his wife for an unlawful reason and another man takes her up. Something that Yahshua said that was adultery institutionalized, to put your wife away for an unlawful cause, and whoever marries her is committing adultery. That's what he means here by marrying and giving in marriage. That's what goes on today. And they're eating and they're drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Same thing. And they didn't know that the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. This is not included in all these things. He's making a difference here. Okay, these are the things that we don't know the time, but we see the signs of the times, because it's like right now, it's like the days of Noah. They're giving and marrying and giving in marriage. And they didn't know till the flood came. Well, they don't know. The wicked will not know these things. He says, there shall be two in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Well, this isn't a reference to before 70 AD, because no one was being taken. They were fleeing. They were instructed to flee when they saw certain signs. When you see the armies compassed, Jerusalem compassed about by armies. When you see the armies enter into, they had all the past references to refer to and what the abomination and the desolation and those signs were. Two women grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore you, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. This is obviously a reference to what Paul talked about later. The same reference, the same happening when he said the trump shall sound, the dead will rise, and those who are alive and remain shall be caught up. So this is that event, that catching away event. So he's talking about the future, when he comes again. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made him rule over his household, to give him? Okay, so let's discuss that before we move on, before we change our topic here. The early church, even after the time of the generation that passed, they were looking forward. They thought he was coming at any time. They really did. That Christ could come at any time. They believed that. And, you know, many have believed it at certain times throughout the history of the church. And many believe it today. I believe it. He could come at any time. I don't know. The calendar is so confused that I can't figure it out. I see a lot of people think they've got it all figured out, but give it a little time and we find out they're wrong and they have to recalculate. I just settled on, well, I don't know. I don't know the hour or the time. I'm not going to calculate it. I can have a pretty good idea that it can happen between now and several hundred years from now. That's as close as I can get the calendar. Go ahead. That's as close as I can get to it. And that's, you know, that's just being honest. And that's what I want to be in these broadcasts. And that's the way I want my teaching ministry to be. Honest. So let's continue. He says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. You know, if I knew, you know, I have poultry here. I get to have our own eggs. And if I knew a time my neighbor's dog was going to sneak in and kill my chickens, I'd be out there with my little .22 repeater rifle, and that dog would be dead. The problem is I go out after the fact, and I find out that in the last week that I've lost 13 of my birds because they did not chain their animal up, and my daughter saw the animal out there, so I lost 13 birds. If I had known, that wouldn't have happened. The animal would be dead, at least, if I had known. I'd have been laying in wait for the thief. Just to bring that illustration to real life there. It's the good man of the house had known what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Yes, we're to always be ready for his coming. Who then is faithful and a wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. And that's pretty much typifies the message that my master has given me. It's the message that he preached. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. You know, we're to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's what repent for the kingdom is at hand means. To repent is to allow his Holy Spirit to convict our heart of the evil that we do or we have done or that we fall into and to correct us. To allow his Holy Spirit to write his law upon our heart and our minds and our heart, that we might be his people, that he might be our God, the great I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahuwah by name. There is nothing more important that we cross the border into his kingdom, repent for the kingdom is at hand, that we endure till the end, no matter what trials, tribulations, good times or bad times come, we don't allow anything to pull us out of his kingdom. We don't begin to eat and to drink with the drunken. We remain sober-minded, always looking for his coming, always seeking to put him first in everything. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. And he promises that he will give us everything he needs. And as always, hallelujah.